John Mark is his full name. He was born into a Jewish family in Jerusalem. The family were early believers in Jesus as the Messiah. You know him from his gospel that he wrote. He was not one of the original 12 apostles, but he was related to some pretty important folks. He was a cousin of Barnabas. Barnabas was a man with a very good reputation in the Jerusalem church who was asked to join Paul on all of his missionary journeys. And when I discovered this, it made me realize, you know, when you think about it, a lot of the apostles and early evangelists are connected, are related somehow. James and John, brothers. Peter and Andrew, brothers. Mark and Barnabas, cousins. Interesting, isn't it? It seems as though when someone comes to faith in Christ, the first people they want to share that good news with are the people they love the most. Family and friends. Perhaps a reminder for us, have we shared the news of Jesus Christ with our family and our friends? Do we have an uncle, aunt, cousin, sister, brother, mother, grandparent who has not been born again yet? We should share the good news of Christ with them. Anyway, John Mark writes the Gospel of Mark. He tells the story of Jesus calling his disciples, his first disciples, apostles, this way that we're going to read this morning in chapter 1. Would you join me, please, in the unison prayer as we prepare to study the Word of God? Let us pray together. Lord, upon the pages of this book is your story. It is also our story. Open our eyes that we may see, our ears that we may hear, our minds that we may understand, and our hearts that they may be transformed in Jesus' name. Amen. We are in Gospel of Mark, first chapter, beginning in verse 16. One day, as Jesus was walking along the shore of the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother, Andrew, throwing a net into the water, for they fished for a living. Jesus called out to them, "Come, follow me, and I will show you how to fish for people." And they left their nets at once and followed him. A little farther up the shore, Jesus saw Zebedee's sons, James and John, in a boat repairing their nets. He called them at once, and they also followed him, leaving their father, Zebedee, in the boat with the hired men. May God add to our blessing and understanding his holy and inspired word. Now, I don't know if you have been made aware of a TV series that is available now. A gentleman by the name of Dallas Jenkins. Dallas Jenkins is the son of Jerry Jenkins. Jerry Jenkins and his friend Terry LaHaye wrote a long series of books in the mid-90s called Left Behind. Ever heard of the Left Behind series of books? They're really good. Anyway, Dallas Jenkins is his son, and he is a television film producer, and he has created a multi-season TV series about the life of Jesus. It is crowdfunded. It is the largest crowdfunded, most successful crowdfunded series in history thus far. I've given money to it. It's voluntary, but you can download it. You can watch it online on your smartphone, on your iPad, on your iPod, or whatever, your computer. If you have a streaming service like Roku or Fire or Hulu or Netflix, you can throw it somehow from your smartphone onto your TV, and that's how Renee and I watched it. It is amazing. I mention it because Dallas tells this story that we just read in one of his episodes, and this video that we're going to watch is how he interprets this story of Jesus calling the first disciples. Check this out. I'll tell you, I've seen that half a dozen times and I still get goosebumps watching it. Peter, James, Andrew, John left everything behind and followed Jesus. I know it's a story we're familiar with, but you know how I saw that for so long? There was actually a part of me that was upset, angry, if you will, at Peter specifically, because he was married. And for years, I thought, he abandoned his wife? He just dropped everything and went to follow Jesus and left her to figure it out on her own? James and John, it says in the scripture, they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men. So here, Zebedee has a successful fishing business and half of his workforce just takes off. They blow off their dad and leave. I couldn't understand that. It took Dallas Jenkins' TV series, The Chosen, to open up my eyes to a different interpretation. You see, I have one of my many faults, and I would ask you to pray about it for me. I seem to be the type that always waits for the other shoe to drop. I always feel like there's another shoe to drop. Some of you might be able to acknowledge this when you've come in to meet with me in my office, but oftentimes somebody will come into my office unannounced and they'll say, Pastor, I need to talk with you. And immediately I panic. Oh my gosh, you're leaving the church. What happened? Who did what? Who said what? Did I do something? Did I say something? And I go into apoplectic shock. Always waiting for the other shoe to drop. I need release from that. It colored how I saw this story for the 30 years since I've been saved that I've been reading the scriptures. There's another take. You just saw it. Zebedee was honored. He was proud. He was grateful that his sons were chosen by the Messiah to follow them. It made me think of, you know, when your son or daughter, teenage son or daughter, graduates high school, and you are so proud of them for that accomplishment. And then they had done what high school seniors are supposed to do. They were putting in applications for colleges all over the place, and most students have a first choice, second choice, third choice. And so your child, your son or daughter, gets this envelope, and it's from their first choice. And they open it up, and you're waiting for the other shoe to drop, but they got accepted. And you're thrilled beyond articulation. You can't speak how happy you are, how proud you are of your child. They got accepted into the college that they wanted to go to. They are headed to the University of Southern California. And they didn't even have to pay a $500,000 bribe or pretend they were on the rowing team. They got in on their own merits. And you're thrilled. And then it hits you. USC is 3,000 miles on the other side of the country. So there can be a conflict. I just always seem to focus on they're 3,000 miles away. Not, they got into USC. It is a difficult day when that happens. How many people here have seen Toy Story 3? All right? There's a scene, right, when Andy packs up his room to go to college, and he and his mother are standing there in the room. If you're a parent and you didn't get choked up or start to weep, you are dead inside. I'm sitting in a movie theater, and I'm trying to keep it together. It's a cartoon. You're proud, whether it's to go off to school, whether it's to get a new job opportunity in Houston, and you're so thrilled that they have it, but they're leaving, and they're taking their your grandchildren with them. Or maybe your son or daughter is headed to Paris Island for boot camp because they're now a member of the United States Marine Corps. You couldn't be more proud, but they're leaving. It's like when your child gets married. This past weekend, our middle son, Justin, and Taylor got married at a Boy Scout camp in Eddington, Maine. You know it's coming, and you're thrilled for them, but it is a bit of a realization that they've got a new life now. They've got a new family now. He'll never just be in his room anymore to go up, pop your head in, say, hey, how's things? For years, I thought following Jesus meant you had to give up stuff. And I was angry at Peter because he gave up his wife. He abandoned her. He left. James and John left their father to figure it out on his own. Jenkins, the chosen, opened my eyes to a different interpretation. In fact, later on in this same episode, Peter does go home to tell his wife. Of course, you know me, I'm waiting for the other shoe to drop. And she begins to weep. I said, aha! No, she wept for joy. Because he wasn't exactly walking with the Lord up to that point, and he found Jesus in a profound way. And not only did he find Jesus, but Jesus asked him to follow him. And he went. She is thrilled beyond words. And you know what else? I was wrong. I know for many of you that's not a surprise, but I was wrong. This is why Bible study is so awesome. And this is why I invite you all to come on Wednesday nights at 6:30 in the Bryant Room, or you can catch us on Facebook Live. We broadcast it at 6:30 on Wednesday evenings. 30 years since I've been saved, I've been reading this book. I got 3 degrees now. I've been reading this book, and I was wrong. I discovered something a couple of weeks ago. Peter, it turns out, was not the only one who was married. And he didn't abandon his wife. 1 Corinthians chapter 9, the Apostle Paul writes this: Am I not as free as anyone else? Am I not an apostle? Haven't I seen Jesus our Lord with my own eyes? Isn't it because of my work that you, the Corinthians, belong to the Lord? Even if others think I am not an apostle, I certainly am to you. You yourselves are proof that I am the Lord's apostle. This is my answer to those who question my authority. Apparently there were those who were questioning his authority as an apostle. Don't we have the right to live in your homes and share your meals? Don't we have the right to bring a believing wife with us as the other apostles and the Lord's brothers do, and as Peter does? I had no idea. Peter didn't go home and tell his wife, see you later. Peter went home and told his wife, let's go. They went as a couple together to follow the Lord. That's why you keep studying your Bible. He will continue to teach you things throughout your whole life. Do we give up things when we come to faith? Yes, we are some things we give up when we come to faith in Christ, but they are not what you think. They are nothing you will miss. You give up quarreling. You give up jealousy and anger and gossip and selfishness. You give up arrogance and drunkenness and drugs and lust and lies. You give up the darkness and you step into the light because our hearts do not desire those things anymore. We have been transformed. We are a new person in Christ. Our old life is done. Our new life has begun. We jumped out of our boats and we ran to the Lord. And what did we receive? Mercy, grace, forgiveness, unconditional love, eternal life. Isn't that awesome? I mean, someone should tell people about this. Don't you think? Yes, I do think. We're supposed to, beginning with family and friends. You see, I like the title that Jenkins chose, The Chosen, because it has a double meaning. Yes, Jesus was the chosen one, but so were Peter and Andrew, James, John, and yes, you and me. Jesus says, you didn't choose me. I chose you. I appointed you to go and produce lasting fruit. You were chosen. I don't know how it was when you guys were going to school, but when I was in grammar school, you ever have all the kids stand up in a line and choose two captains, and they each took a turn, right, Tony? Choosing who was going to be on your team for a classic game of dodgeball. There's nothing better than seeing an 8-year-old kid's head snap back when they get hit square in the face with a 4-square ball. It was awesome. They don't do that anymore, but it was fun. Anyway, how did you feel when the captain stood up there and pointed at you and called your name? You were chosen. This is what God has done. He chose you. You didn't choose him. He chose you. Do you think it's a coincidence that you're here this morning? Because it's not. Not if you believe in the sovereignty of God, which means God is in control. He is the creator of all things. He controls all things. He wanted you to be here this morning. There are plenty other places you could be. He wanted you to hear this. Maybe for the first time in this way. God chose you. You. To receive his mercy, grace, forgiveness, unconditional love. God chose you to let the world know about salvation and about him. You might be asking yourself, what did God choose me for? The answer you heard, it's the same answer he gave to Peter, Andrew, James, and John. What do you want with me, Lord? Follow me. Jesus says, follow me. That means do as I do. Say what I say. Forgive as I forgive. Serve as I serve. Love as I love. I've chosen you to be my disciples, my ambassadors, my evangelists. Go and fish for people. Follow me. How does it feel to be one of the chosen? Pretty cool, huh? I hope so. I hope this morning you understand. God wanted you on His team. He's got a purpose for you. He's got a plan. All we have to do is leave our old life behind and follow Him. If you're ready to follow Him, then would you join me in praying Psalm 9?